Welcome to WhiskeyCast, Cask Strength Conversation, featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie. This is episode number 367 for April 29th, 2012. Coming up in a few minutes.
It's amazing when we would play around with the flavor profiles that you would get some great tasting whiskeys that would complement things that had just their natural base in them. And the whiskey, the cinnamon whiskey and brown sugar oatmeal has got to be one of my favorites.
Stacy Labs is one of the co-authors of the Never Cook Sober Cookbook, and I'll be talking with her later on about cooking with whiskey at dinner, lunch, and even breakfast. I'll also have the calendar of events, the comments of the week, and the What I'm Tasting This Week department.
WhiskeyCast. Proudly brought to you by Redbreast. The definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. Join the stillhouse at singlepotstill.com and receive an exclusive whiskey tasting journal.
WhiskeyCast is supported by Glenfiddich, the world's most awarded single malt. To join other single malt appreciators for exclusive news, vintage releases, and preferred events, visit glenfiddich.com.
Glenfiddich, skillfully crafted. Please enjoy responsibly.
Let's start off with the week's news, brought to you by Glenmorangie. Main Street in downtown Louisville has been known as Whiskey Row for decades. There hasn't been a distillery on Main Street for many years, though, but several of Louisville's major distillers still have offices on Main Street. Heaven Hill announced plans this week to turn its Main Street offices into the Evan Williams Bourbon Experience, complete with an artisanal pot still distillery, interactive visitors center, tasting rooms, gift shop, and space for special events. The Heaven Hill offices are on Main Street between 5th and 6th, and almost directly across the street from the site where Evan Williams built his original distillery way back in 1793. The Evan Williams Bourbon Experience is expected to draw about 100,000 visitors a year when it opens in September of 2013. In the meantime, Lincoln Henderson's Angel's Envy Bourbon is in the bar business in Louisville, at least for a few days. The Angel's Envy folks have opened up the Angel's Envy Lounge just down Main Street from Heaven Hill's project at the corner of 4th and Main. It'll be open each night only until May 6th. And while we're talking about parties, I mentioned the Bushmills Live Music and Whiskey Festival at the Old Bushmills Distillery coming up in June a while back. The musical lineup is starting to take shape now, and if you're a fan of the Lord of the Rings movies, I'll bet you didn't know that Frodo was a DJ. Turns out actor Elijah Wood moonlights as a club DJ and will be performing a set at Bushmills Live with his friend Zach Cowie, along with the band Snow Patrol. Tickets are only available through a competition on the Bushmills Facebook page. There's a link at the WhiskeyCast website. In other news from Ireland, there are more changes at Cooley Distillery following its acquisition by Beam earlier this year. Managing Director Jack Teeling, the son of Cooley founder and former chairman John Teeling, left the company on Friday. He's planning his own Irish whiskey venture, but hasn't announced any details yet. When he does, I'll have the details here on WhiskeyCast. Jack's brother, Stephen, is staying on with Cooley in an executive role, at least for the time being. Meanwhile, I reported several months ago that Highland Park Distillery manager Russell Anderson would be moving south to Speyside this year to take the reins at the McAllen. He has taken over officially now from Alexander Tweedy, who will become the Edrington Group's technical support manager, replacing the retiring Dr. Bill Crilly. Now, that much we already knew, but Russell's successor at Highland Park has now been named. Graham Manson moves north to Orkney. He had been the engineering manager at the North British Grain Distillery in Edinburgh and has more than 25 years of whiskey experience. Also wanted to pass on congratulations to a couple of WhiskeyCast listeners. The McAllen had an Instagram photo competition recently, and two of our listeners were among the five winners. Congratulations to Sean Fouché and Hugh Morris. Meanwhile, Glengoyne has released the latest bottling in its Old Enemy Dram series, honoring the football and rugby battles between Scotland and England. It's a 1990 single cask available at Vino's stores in Scotland or through the Glengoyne website. Last time around, I mentioned Spayburn's new Clan Spayburn Society, which will offer some exclusive bottlings for members, among other benefits. Just received a sample of the first Clan Spayburn bottling. The 1975 Clan cask is a Spanish Oak Pedro Jimenez sherry cask, bottled at 55.8% ABV. It'll go on sale later this year exclusively to Clan Spayburn members. I'll have tasting notes for it in a few minutes. Finally, you might remember my trip to Balblair Distillery in Scotland last June. It was just a few days before a film crew arrived to shoot scenes for the new Ken Loach movie, The Angel's Share. Well, the movie will be released next month, and our good friend Charles McLean will be appearing in it. He had been brought on board to serve as a whiskey consultant for the movie crew, and after Ken Loach saw Charlie speaking at a Bonhams auction in Edinburgh, he cast Charlie as, what else, a whiskey expert. Somehow I don't think Charlie will object to being typecast in that role. The Angel's Share will also be shown at the Cannes Film Festival next month. I'll let you know if Charlie turns up on the red carpet in his kilt. That's the week's news.
The news is brought to you by Glenmorangie. Visit us on the web at glenmorangie.com or download our iPad app at the iTunes App Store. Glenmorangie, unnecessarily well made.
Let's check the comments of the week now, brought to you this time around by Johnny Walker. Thanks to everyone who helped us find good whiskey bars in Las Vegas this week on the Facebook page. Stuart Robson is on holiday in Vegas this weekend and asked for some help. We had a lot of great suggestions, including the Whiskey Attic at the Freakin' Frog, Craft Steak at the MGM Grand, Delmonico's at the Venetian, and Cut at the Palazzo. I know Stuart appreciates the suggestions. Keep in mind that we're always looking for great whiskey bars around the world. If you find one, make sure you let us know about it on the Facebook page. Technology makes it easier for us to find whiskeys, as we found out from Shelley Brisbane on the Facebook page this week. Here's what she posted. I'm looking at a photo of a whiskey shelf in Tokyo's Narita Airport. It features Hibiki 12 at 3,500 yen, 17 at 6,500 yen, and 21 at 7,500 yen. Based on Mark's rave for the 21, when I said, if you have a chance, you must try this, I'll be asking my brother-in-law to secure a bottle for me as he transits back to the U.S. I'm excited, and I'm still capable of being amazed by what technology and a community of knowledgeable people can do. Thanks, Mark. Shelley, I'm glad to help. I hope you enjoy that Hibiki 21. Last time around, I mentioned Beaumont's competition to come up with a new name for its 10-year-old Tempest single malt to carry in the U.S. We had a couple of questions about why Beaumont couldn't use the name Tempest in the U.S., and thanks to Kirstine Beeston of Morrison Beaumont, we now have the answer. Here's what she told me in an email this week. The product name is already in the U.S. by another company. We wanted to ensure all Beaumont fans had the chance to enjoy the expression in the U.S. Therefore, we took the decision to rename the whiskey in the U.S. Facebook users are being asked to vote between Whirlpool and Doris Moore, which means troubled waters in Gaelic. The voting runs through May 18th. If you have a question, suggestion, or something you'd like to share, you can always post it on our Facebook page or just email me. My address is comments@whiskeycast.com. The comments of the week are brought to you this time around by Johnny Walker on the web at johnnywalker.com. Click the banner at the WhiskeyCast website to become a whiskey insider today.
WhiskeyCast is supported by Glenfiddich, the world's most awarded single malt. In 1886, William Grant set out to fulfill a lifelong ambition to make the best dram in the valley. Today, a rarity in Scotland, Glenfiddich still remains independently owned by the fifth generation of the same pioneering family. This unique legacy of skill, passion and pride forges a long-term commitment to creating truly great single malt without compromise. Glenfiddich, the world's most awarded single malt. To learn more about our award-winning range and join other single malt appreciators for exclusive news, vintage releases and preferred events, visit glenfiddich.com.
Glenfiddich, skillfully crafted. Please enjoy responsibly.
Time now for the calendar of events brought to you by Laphroaig. May is shaping up to be a busy month. The Spirit of Speyside Festival gets underway this week, running from May 3rd through the 7th. This coming week also brings us Whiskey Live in Tokyo, the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society's U.S. chapters, single malt extravaganzas in Denver and Phoenix, and a Brooke Laddie tasting at the Good Spirits Company in Glasgow. Later in the month, the Spirit of Toronto Festival, May 12th, Whiskey Live in Singapore the 21st and Dublin on the 26th, several Jolly Topper tastings at the Kilderkin and the Tollbooth Tavern in Edinburgh, Springbank Distillery's Open Day on the 24th, and, of course, the Islay Festival of Malt and Music, Fagiel, starts May 25th and runs through June 3rd. You'll find a full calendar of events at the WhiskeyCast website, and it's brought to you by Laphroaig, celebrating the 18th birthday of the Friends of Laphroaig this summer, and member number 500,000. Congratulations to Jarmo Mainpa of Finland. You want to start off the race for a million? Visit Laphroaig.com, become a friend of Laphroaig, and claim your own square foot of Islay.
WhiskeyCast, brought to you by Redbreast, the definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. In conversation with Barry Crockett, master distiller, Redbreast single pot still Irish whiskey.
My family have been involved in the business. My father was the head distiller or master distiller of the old Middleton Distillery, which ceased operation in 1974. In respect of the handing on of the traditional practices, you could really say it was a family operation handing on the skills from one generation to another, particularly in my case. I actually lived on the site of the distillery, so it wasn't just merely the handing on of practices, it was indeed being very much aware from a very young age of the sounds, the aromas, the people who worked in the business. So it is, as it were, a full immersion in the whiskey business.
Redbreast, the definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. Those in the know, know Redbreast.
This week on WhiskeyCast In Depth, we're going to talk about one of my favorite subjects. We've talked a lot about cooking with whiskey many times over the years here on WhiskeyCast, but there are other spirits you can cook with too. And joining me now is Stacy Labs, one of the authors of the new book, The Never Cook Sober Cookbook. Stacy, welcome to WhiskeyCast.
Thank you for having us, Mark. I really appreciate it.
And before we start, I assume the title refers to the food and not necessarily the cook, correct?
Well, you hope that, yes. It's you hope that in the end. But there's no guarantee. It's to be used individually and at your discretion.
And, of course, responsibly. But
absolutely.
I know there are a lot of folks that will do, let's see, one cup for the recipe, a cup for the cook, a cup for the recipe, a cup for the cook, and something like that. First of all, tell me what inspired the two of you to write this, you and your co-author, Sherry Field.
Well, first of all, we really enjoy cooking, and we obviously enjoy cocktails. And basically what happened was we were grilling one day, and a lot of the neighbors around us were starting to see the struggles of the economy, and they really needed something to kind of inspire them a little bit. And we would, you know, kind of gather in block parties. And so it was kind of a double-edged kind of book in the sense that we started seeing all these wonderful things, such as the flavored alcohols that are starting to make an incredible rise right now and have been, and really want to try the variations of that in cooking. And the second reason really was the reason we wrote the book the way that we did is to really inspire people and bring a smile to their face and really encourage them to enjoy the time they have in every moment and the people around them and the very simple things about gathering and just really bring the passion of life and food and drink, you know, remind a lot of people of passion.
And that passion, of course, is what fuels a lot of people in the whiskey business and whiskey lovers around the world as well. Let's talk about some of the whiskey-related recipes that the two of you came up with. I'm looking at just the list of ingredients alone here, and you guys have everything from whiskey for breakfast to whiskey in desserts, correct?
Correct. Correct.
Let's talk about breakfast first, the most important meal of the day.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
There is a tanked cinnamon whiskey and brown sugar oatmeal. Now, a lot of whiskeys have
especially those that come out of bourbon casks, have a bit of a brown sugar taste to them anyway, so this sounds like it would really work really well.
It does. It's amazing when we would play around with the flavor profiles that you would get some great tasting whiskeys that would complement things that had just their natural base in them. And the whiskey, the cinnamon whiskey and brown sugar oatmeal has got to be one of my favorites. And it's such a great way to kind of start the day with oatmeal. It makes something so boring, taking something really boring and bringing something exciting to it.
So how do you make it?
Basically what you do is you go in and you want to take a saucepan and you want to mix your favorite oatmeal in there. We kind of use the basic type oatmeal and go in and add water and milk together. You want to bring it to a boil and then you want to go for about a tablespoon of whiskey, cinnamon, and about a tablespoon of brown sugar and salt. And you want to go to about medium heat and cook it for the consistency. We call it a Thanksgiving stuffing. I mean, everybody has their preferences. When we have it, what we did is we kind of put in about a half a tablespoon of cinnamon whiskey and about a half a tablespoon of brown sugar and butter, and we'd sprinkle it with walnuts. And the reason we kind of added it at the end is to just kind of enhance the flavor a little bit and bring out that cinnamon taste.
And you referred to cinnamon whiskey in here. Of course, there aren't that many flavored whiskeys, but there are a few cinnamon whiskeys out that people can acquire if they want to try this. But if they don't have a cinnamon whiskey, what would you recommend?
You know, at that point in time, I would just probably use basic whiskey that you have in your cabinet and then just add the cinnamon in there for the additional profile. And that's what's great about this is when you don't have one of the flavors and you're still sitting there with a basic ingredient or whiskey that you love, is that you can add that whiskey right in there and get that same kind of just kind of uplift to the meal.
Now, how does whiskey compare to other spirits when you're cooking with it? I know we cook a lot with both scotch and bourbon around here as well as other types of whiskeys, but other than wine, we don't do a lot of cooking with other spirits around the house here.
I will tell you the number one thing about cooking with whiskey or bourbon of any of these is that you can't miss in the sense that there's no margin for error. I would start, and we kind of talk about this in the book, you really have to start with your personal preference for your taste level, but whiskey can get away from you really easy and overpower a dish, where if you're cooking with vodka, particularly plain vodka, you have a lot of room for miscalculation. You don't with the whiskeys or scotches or bourbons.
That's always been one of my sore points because I see a lot of restaurants that will do, say, a penne pasta with a vodka sauce, and the whole idea behind vodka is that it's not supposed to have any taste to it unless you put something in it. And I'm still not 100% sure what vodka adds other than perhaps the alcohol tenderizing whatever meat or proteins you have in that dish. But why cook with vodka if it's not supposed to add any taste?
You know, it's one of those things I think for me, we just certainly use vodka in this. And I think it's a nice way to bring out some of the flavor. I have seen it tenderize a little bit, you know, certainly with the meats going in using as a marinade. You know, I actually kind of can tell the difference a little bit. It makes the sauces a little bit more jumpy to me a little bit, jump out a little bit more. I think it's very good that if you want to start cooking with alcohol and you want to give yourself you want to do something where you just know you're not going to blow an entire dish, I think vodka is a great way to lean into cooking with alcohol without feeling like you could waste your entire meal because you just overpoured. And I think that's the beauty of vodka. But again, like you're saying, it's a double-edged sword because then how much of it with basic vodka do you really get that flavor profile enhancement? That's debatable.
I will admit my favorite vodka recipe in here is on page 49, the peanut butter and vodka jelly sandwich.
That was like, I will tell you, out of all of them, that was like the slam dunk hit of simplicity. That it was the best thing, I have to admit. It was fun making. It's the number one comment we get a lot. It's amazing how many adults love that. And because they have children these days, what can they do to kind of not to dress up theirs for the adults? And it's been a big hit.
Just make sure you don't mix up the kids' sandwich with the adult sandwich.
Absolutely. And, you know, there was a travel show on recently where they were talking about food cocktails. And they had a place in Vegas that was making peanut butter and jelly. I think it was martinis. I can't quite remember. But it was really fascinating to watch how this is simple peanut butter
disgusting.
Jelly. You know what? It's one of their top sellers. I was stunned. I know it was on Travel Channel not long ago because it was funny. We had made this and we saw it and it was like one of their top, I think it was the first or second top seller at a very exclusive club in Vegas.
Now, the one I could easily see going at for lunch would be the Captain's Table Bourbon Pulled Pork Sandwich. This just sounds really wicked.
It is. It's. Listen, I'm a big pulled pork fan. I kind of grew up with it. So I am I'm a big fan of that.
One of the things that we've done around the house, and I've talked about this a number of times on the show, is what we refer to as the drunken barbecue tenderloin.
Mm-hmm.
Where you take a beef or a pork tenderloin and put it in a plastic-covered dish or a bowl with about a little bit of barbecue sauce and about a cup of either scotch or bourbon, depending on your taste and what you have, and just let it sit in the refrigerator and get happy all day, and then put it on the grill. And then at the end of the day, pull it apart, and you've got an amazing barbecue at that point.
Oh, absolutely! And the one thing we did too is we kind of looked at the book. We kind of thought about, we kind of debated between taking something really smoking it and doing the whole thing. It's funny because now our second book is we are doing a grilling book with the same alcohol type themes. But what I wanted to do is really take something that a person was able to go to the store and get their hands on quickly and sort of create it. That was sort of some of it, not all of it, but like, for the example, the pulled pork sandwich, and kind of be able to go in and instantly get that experience. But I agree with you. The way that you do it, I bet, would just, in the same way we smoke something, it's just delicious when you bring in these bourbons and whiskeys into the smoking and grilling arena.
And this sounds almost like your Honey, I'm Home whiskey chicken.
Yes.
Almost exactly. Just the same idea, is to put it all together and let it marinate overnight.
Yes. Yes, it is absolutely one of the best ways to really cook, and I have to just say that that's one of my favorites as well. And it's hard to pick which one that you really, really like, but I think with this one, probably what really stands out is really the honey whiskey and really playing around with the actual honey whiskey. And what we found is even when you marinate it overnight or at least for an hour, you get this great tasting profile where the honey does stand out. And it's exciting to try these, and it was exciting to do this, but whiskey just brings a component when you're dealing with chicken, you're dealing with pork. It just brings out a component, even in the pork chops, that are just wonderful. And I think underrated.
I would agree with you on that. And the other thing that whiskey goes really good with is chocolate.
Yes.
And let's look at the desserts on that, because you've got some great whiskey desserts as well, too, right?
I do. I have a Dreamworld Whiskey Pecan Pie. And I have to tell you, that's that was a lot of creation of Sherry. And we had talked
Sherry
about...
Sherry the author, not Sherry the wine.
Yes, Sherry the author. And we had sort of talked about the Southern upbringing, the pecan pies, and she said, well, let me try this. And I said, okay, well, you're from Arizona. Let's just see how good you can do something. And she was amazing about how she kind of came in and tweaked this really surprising, taking cinnamon whiskey and going in and doing this pecan pie. It was delicious.
There's also another one in here on the dessert side for what you call as high as a kite chocolate cake with a maple bourbon frosting that sounds, once again, really, really good.
Yes, and again, that was kind of a combination between Sherry and I, because this one we did want to take sort of from scratch, and really this time we decided just to let the bourbon kind of run on its own and really just bring in the maple syrup. And as you said, because you're starting to see the whiskeys and bourbons go with chocolate, it's something that we kind of wanted to just complement together, and we were pretty pleased about how it came out. And again, I just think bourbons are just underrated, that they can go in so many meals, like you said, from breakfast to lunch to dinners to desserts. And what I hope it does is open a conversation for people about whiskeys, about what their passions are, if they love beer, if they love wine, whatever they love, and to start experimenting.
You also have some fun trivia and some great quotes from various authors over the years. And I have to admit, under the tipsy trivia, the one I'm looking at that I really just sort of laughed at, having once lived in Alaska for a few years, in Fairbanks, Alaska, it is illegal to serve alcoholic beverages to a moose. Though it is legal to accept a drink from a moose, I would assume that does not mean at the Moose Lodge, though.
Well, the trivia was probably the most interesting thing, and especially like it's a little bizarre when you get like out of Alaska. They're just hilarious. And I think it was just fun to kind of research these, and you're like, you're kidding, right? But yeah, I mean, what are you going to say in Alaska? All that fishing going on up there, you never know. You never know what they were doing.
Well, that's where smoked salmon, and I get smoked salmon flavors occasionally in some scotches because of the just that sort of maritime taste and sort of the brininess of scotch. Is there a difference between cooking with scotch and cooking with bourbon, in your opinion?
I would say this, if I am really cooking, I have a hard time telling. Now, if I'm drinking something, probably, but my palate is not that well to be able to discern between that. Somebody like you, and probably a lot of your listeners, absolutely. I say the more you heat something up and you diminish the taste of any alcohol, then you're going to get less probably of it being noticed. But I would say certainly if you're using it probably in what I would call a cold type dish, then yes, you probably can see the taste.
So what's the one recipe with whiskey that you left out of the book?
I would say probably the one that I have not mastered yet is really going after whiskey with the type of flavor profile, which is kind of what I'm doing on the grill with seafood. I really want to come up with something unique. And I thought I had one, and I'm not even going to say what it was because it was just too kind of just wasn't there. But I would say using it with seafood in a very unique way. And I couldn't tell whether or not I hit a home run or if it was so potent that I was like, maybe not, maybe not.
Now, we've done the drunken salmon trick, too, where you take the salmon fillet and marinate that all day long in a cup of scotch.
Yes. Yeah, that one.
And that works really well.
It does. I was actually trying it with, I'll just admit this, a whitefish. And I was like, I don't know. I was really trying to use whiskey as the primary ingredient. And I wasn't having the luck like you would with a salmon. And so I was like, I have to tweak that one a little bit, I think, and mix it with a few more flavors. So I'm working on that one. I'm working on it.
I wonder how it would work with halibut, because I've had beer batter halibut before. And there's some interesting flavor combinations with halibut that might work.
You nailed it. You nailed the one I was going after. And it is halibut. And I've still got to tweak it a little bit. And that's the one that I'm most intrigued by. And I had tried it with tilapia. And I thought, no, halibut to me was just definitely the one that jumped up. And I thought, okay, so we were getting close to really feeling like we had a pretty complete book. So I went, well, you know, this is something I'd want to try on the grill at some point. And I kind of just set it aside. But halibut was the one I was playing with.
Okay. When's the grilling book coming out, by the way?
I don't know. We're just kind of refining some recipes on that right now. And hopefully, you know, we'll start shopping it soon. The response
well,
for
good
this
luck.
One. Yeah, the response for this one has just been tremendous. And it's just been beyond our expectations. And even some specialty stores, certainly it's going to be available at bookstores, but certainly we've got interest for, you know, there's going to be an Urban Outfitters and specialty stores are looking at it. So it's very exciting. So we're trying to, work with this one and also finish up our grilling one. Because once you start, I think, cooking with alcohol and you really start to see how many ways you can use it. And I think this is a great thing about the rise of the flavored alcohols is the amount of opportunities out there for the average cook. Have fun.
Well, thank you again for joining us, Stacy Labs, one of the authors, along with Sherry Field, of the Never Cook Sober Cookbook.
Thank you, Mark.
By the way, I've added the Never Cook Sober Cookbook to our WhiskeyCast store, powered by Amazon.com, along with a new book by Kentucky photographer and author Leon Howlett, The Kentucky Bourbon Experience. You'll find them at the WhiskeyCast website, along with Davin DeCargamo's new book, Canadian Whiskey, The Portable Expert. It's just been published. Davin told us about his book earlier this year in episode number 355. The What I'm Tasting This Week department is brought to you this time around by Bal Blair. I mentioned the Spayburn 1975 Clan Cask bottling for Clan Spayburn members earlier. Once again, it's a Spanish Oak Pedro Jimenez Sherry Cask, bottled at 55.8% ABV. The aroma filled the room as soon as I opened my sample bottle. The nose is ripe with peaches and pears, along with hints of smoke, oak, and a touch of plums. The taste is intense, with a spicy burst of cinnamon balanced by a light smokiness and hints of tree fruits. As the spice fades, hints of licorice and a lemony tartness come out for a nice, complex taste. The finish lingers nicely with a light, airy smokiness, licorice, brown sugar, and honey notes, too. I'm scoring the Spayburn 1975 Clan Cask a 92. Now, earlier this week, we got word that our first grandchild will be coming later this year, and it's a boy. Thanks to everyone who responded to my posts on Facebook. I celebrated with a big dram of Oban 18-year-old. It's bottled at 43% ABV. The nose has notes of honey, vanilla, heather, and dried grass, with hints of brine and nuts. The taste is rich and spicy with notes of cinnamon, brine, honey, vanilla, and a hint of nutmeg. The finish is long, slightly spicy, and briny with hints of honey and nutmeg, too. I'm scoring the Oban 18 a 92. Finally, I tasted the Triple Smoke Single Malt from Corsair. It's a single barrel bottling at 40% ABV made from barley smoked separately with cherry, beech, and peat, then combined in the mashing process. That gives it an extremely complex and dry and sweet nose with notes of cherry pie, nutmeg, vanilla, honey, a touch of dark chocolate, and a hint of smoke. The taste is smoky and spicy and very complex, too. The peatiness really comes out, along with notes of cherry pie, dark chocolate, licorice, honey, and roasted almonds. Once again, it's really complex, and the finish has a great balance of smoke, lingering dark chocolate notes, and hints of toasted oak. I'm scoring the Corsair Triple Smoke Single Malt a 92. The What I'm Tasting This Week department is brought to you by Bal Blair, whiskeys timed to perfection. You'll find my tasting notes in the free WhiskeyCast apps for iPhone, iPad, and Android, and at the WhiskeyCast website, too. That's also where you'll find links for our Facebook page and my Twitter feed, the calendar of events, the photo gallery and print shop, WhiskeyCast HD videos, and our monthly WhiskeyCast Virtual Tastings podcast, and, of course, a complete archive of past episodes. The address is WhiskeyCast.com. My email address for questions and suggestions is comments@WhiskeyCast.com.
WhiskeyCast is supported by Glenfiddich, the world's most awarded single malt. To join other single malt appreciators for exclusive news, vintage releases, and preferred events, visit Glenfiddich.com.
Glenfiddich, skillfully crafted. Please enjoy responsibly.
WhiskeyCast. Proudly brought to you by Redbreast, the definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. Join the stillhouse at singlepotstill.com and receive an exclusive whiskey tasting journal.
Whiskey Cast is a production of Cask Strength Media, copyright 2012, and comes to you from the charming, yet regrettably dry town of Haddonfield, New Jersey. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.